forward seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch, hope is seeping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. The thoughts swirl round, all jumbled and messed. Why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed, haven't told a soul. I am depressed. A gentle whisper through the pain, remember rainbows follow rain. Breathe deeply, hold on tight, your hope will return. Your strength be shown.
Hello there. I'm so happy to be back with you today. It's Elaine Lindsay of Suicide Zen Forgiveness, and today we are here with my guest, Rashi Nayar. This will be one of those where I get to learn along with you. Rashi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Lane. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's lovely, and it's also lovely to find out that Rashi's not all that far from me, just a couple of hours. Yes. I always enjoy when I get to find out where my guests are, because it's amazing how many people are really close to us that we may not know. And learning and meeting new people, for me, is something that I find really interesting. I really enjoy finding out all kinds of things about people, but as the audience here knows, we like to learn about stories and about people's lives. So we're going to start first learning a little bit about who you are now and what it is that you do.
Sure, Elaine. I'm a serial entrepreneur for the last 11 years. I've made companies over seven figures. But quietly inside, I was living a very desperate life and I wasn't really happy. I was not connected with my soul. And we'll talk about it as we go, how it all started. But to give you a short intro, is these days I am a coach. And some people call me the self-love coach. Some people call me the healer, whatever. And some people call me the sales coach, because sales is also selling. So I have different clients, but ultimately, what I do is connect them back to who they are, help them connect back to love, and lead their lives every single moment from that space of love. Love, yes.
That's absolutely beautiful. And it's interesting to me because most people may not think of sales and sales coaching and marketing and what have you in terms of love. But when you bring love to the table, whether you're marketing or selling or prepping content, it's always better when you can add a little love to the mix.
Yes, indeed, indeed, yes.
So on that note, let's talk about how you could be seven times being very successful and yet, I understand, not being connected to your soul. Let's walk through that with you.
Sure. Thank you. So it really just started with a loss in the family. So in 2007, I lost my dog. And for some people, dogs are just dogs. But for me, family members.
Yeah.
And I know you have dogs, Elaine, so you will get it. And left me unconditionally without me being having to perform or having to be someone else other than myself, right? I could just be. And he would be there. I could mess up and he was there. And back then I was in India And in India, we have very busy roads. And my house happened to be on the road. And he somehow, his leash got stuck in a car, and he was only two, and he died. And he pretty much died in my arms. And before that, I was just going with life. Nothing spectacular was really happening. But that was the first time I experienced loss that profoundly and that deeply. And that led me to a long 18-year journey of depression and numbness and feeling very lost, basically. And that was it. That was the first moment. And it really, the longing was to return home to him. Him meaning unconditional, right? For me, love was him. So I related to love in that way. But the longing was for the soul to return home to itself, to unconditional. And that's who we are. But I didn't know it. That was longing and looking outwards. And that led me to enter toxic relationships and whatnot. And, you know, for love outside of myself in businesses, I scaled businesses to 7 figures plus. And apparently I was successful. I see myself as successful on paper. But in community, I was living with this low-grade anxiety. It's always there. Like, it's like not feeling good enough. Like it's always there. And then another loss happened this year, 2025. And my aunt, and she passed away. And for 3 days, she was in my head after her death. She kept saying to me, Rashi, love yourself. Stop. Love yourself. Love yourself. And it kept going in my head. And I just stopped everything. I blocked my calendar. And I went inwards. So I sat in silence. And I'm a mom of two, so I'm not really sitting in silence. Stop picking any new clients, anything of that. Just completely stopped for 2 months. What I was just doing was cooking, cleaning, household duties, just looking after the kids. But I really went inwards, which means day and night, I was just in meditation and just sitting with myself. But all I kept doing was, I love you, Rashi. I love you, Rashi. I love you, Rashi. That's what I kept repeating. And what happened after that was 2 months of doing that, Elaine, I was whole again. I found myself. It was like I poured so much love on myself that I felt invincible. It's like I didn't need anything else to complete me. I was so complete, you know? And from that place, I just started reaching out to people and going on podcasts and just talking about love and how important it is to love yourself. So important. And not just to, sometimes we think we love ourselves. We are under an illusion that we love ourselves. If you ask me back then, of course I love myself. But really we don't, because we just keep judging ourselves. Our biggest record. We're not, it's not right. You should be doing better. All of that narrative. And I was raised by a dad. My father is perfectionist father. Either I love him, and he loves me. We love each other so much. And now he's a different person. Growing up in the household, like there was a lot that was expected from me being the oldest child. So I suppose like with some of those events, and I was very depressed for a very long time, many years. I felt like I was in that dark night of the soul. And obviously this podcast, so when I was pregnant with my first one, I wanted to take my life. And that was because the hormones and the depression like came together in the first trimester. And I was like, okay, I'm going with it. That was, and my friend and my husband talked me out of that. And even my in-laws, they talked me out of that place. But then last year, when I was pregnant again, and the hormone again, and I was like, oh, I was so depressed again. And then the whole same thoughts. And I would just lock myself in a room. And I believe it's the numbness, like not feeling any emotion whatsoever. It's not feeling. We want to feel. So in a short snippet of what I've shared with you, and we can talk about it, like what happened in between those years. I had some openings. I had some awakenings. I went to spiritual retreats, concerts, chanting concerts. I sat down with mystics and sages, and we can talk about that. And I had some really intense experiences, but nothing was really permanent. I would always spiral down. Yeah.
Something really important that you just said like you did all these things and nothing resonated. Like that, for our audience, that is so incredibly important. Because the fact is, we don't all resonate with the same things. What helped you? It might help me, it might not. I may need something totally different. And we have to give ourselves the grace to try different things, to not put up those walls. When we are in a place that we can reach out or people can reach us, it's trying to remember to be open to what comes, because I think it's so incredibly important. Okay, you started off with the most important piece that many of us, in all honesty, are still missing, and that's about loving ourselves. That can be the hardest piece, and I totally understand where you're coming from about it doesn't matter what you achieve, it doesn't matter how great everything looks on the outside and how successful you're being, when there is an empty pit inside that just continues to grow until it swallows you.
Yes.
And like you, I had a father who, he just wanted me to do. I was the oldest child. Now, there was only two of us and 5 years between us. But, you know, as a child, I would come home with 100% from school. I was a good student. And my father would be like, oh, could you not have just done a wee bit more? No, father, that is not possible. And it's just how life is. We want more for our children. And that's generational. We're not the first ones to feel that way.
No.
Like we wanted it. They wanted it. Their parents wanted it. People have always wanted to do more, give more, be more for their children. That's how the human race continues to go forward.
Yes.
We do have a choice. And in having that choice, we are not like the animals. We make the decision to further our young, to sacrifice for our young, to, like you said, you locked yourself away for 2 months, but you were still doing what you needed to do for the children. Yes. Because that is a bond, that is a, I can't think of the word I want, but we choose to be the nurturer for our children when we choose to have children. And those are sacred covenants we take on as moms and dads. And I think it's really incredible. And something you touched on, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different religions. We live in different areas of the world. We have different customs. These truths are the same. I don't care where you are, who brought you up, how many mystics you saw or gurus. I went for a long time to Art of Living with Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. I know all about the breathing and all of that, and have done, yeah, all kinds of meditation. And he's a lovely man. I absolutely love him. But all of that, it doesn't really matter where you come from. The key thing that people have to understand, depression is a beast that shows the same face to every one of us. And it has the same intention, whether you came from Lapland or Australia or India, or in my case, Scotland, it is the same beast. It wants the same thing. It has no regard for us. And its main aim is to take over. So I think that's a really important piece for people to understand, because every single one of us, when we're deep inside, we think we're the only one that's ever gone through this. We're the only one. And very often, our thoughts on taking ourselves out of the situation has nothing to do with us. It does. It's very often about ending pain, but it's very often about making it better for those around us.
Mm.
And that is so wrong. That is the beast. It is not us, because no one ever who has left us left people that were not devastated. For every person who leaves us, there are 135 people affected on average. That is huge. And I think it's wonderful that you're here today, because I think that's really important. We are at a very difficult time in the world. There is so much fear and mistrust and unrest that more and more people are, the beast is taking on more people because it can, because it feeds on fear. It feeds on anxiety. It feeds on imposter syndrome. And when you are in that pit, very often after a loss, and I would never say dog, cat, bird, lizard, whatever your pet is, that unconditional love, it's pure. It's totally, it's the purest thing you will ever get. And that is so hard to lose. It's like when we lose another human, and even our pets, a lot of our grief is not about them. It's about being left behind.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds really selfish, and sadly in a way it is, but you nailed it, because you said we're looking for that unconditional love. We're looking for... There's got to be more of it. If pets can give it to us, there has to be more.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And actually, what I discovered was that it's within us. It's within us. So when I conceived my first daughter, I felt that unconditional love again. As a mother, right? As a mother. But I still didn't get it. I thought it was just coming from her, because she loved me so much.
Yeah.
And even when I gave birth to my second daughter, it's still, babies love their mom, like their mother, unconditionally. I still didn't get it. I thought it's coming. And I started having fears as a mother. What if something happens to them? All of that. And those thoughts with the hormone shift and everything. And when my aunt passed away, she kept telling me, it's like she was communicating to me from beyond. Rashi, stop. Rashi, love yourself. Rashi, stop. Rashi, love yourself. And to be honest, even though I accomplished the 7-figure mark, which most people want to get to, right, in their life,
yeah,
I was still not content. I was still chasing after money. I was stuck in a cycle of chasing more and more. The milestone was just moving forward.
Yeah. And because it wasn't in that pit.
Yes.
It was
external. Exactly. And the thing is, when she started telling me, love yourself, and that's what I started repeating mentally all the time. And in the beginning, it felt really fake. It was like foreign, right? I felt having looked at myself, and is there anything I can love about myself? You have these feelings that when I hit yourself in the mirror, it's like, well, but I persisted. Even though it felt fake, I just persisted. I was like, I love you. And you started feeling better. I started feeling good. You know? And then I just kept doing. And then my confidence just, as you said, I became invincible. And the depression that I had felt for 18 years, since 2007 to 2025 now, it was finally lifted. And I was like, oh. So if people can love themselves more, and even if it feels fake in the beginning,
yeah,
even if you're amidst depression, the last thing you want to do is, if someone tells, love yourself, what the hell, I'm feeling numb. Yeah. What are you talking about? But if we persist with it, if you keep, Rashi, I love you, whatever, you know, like Elin, I love you, you keep repeating it mentally, what happens is you're pouring yourself with love.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the lens with which I saw the world completely transformed. I started seeing people from the eyes of love, because I was able to see myself from love, and my husband and my mom and my dad and my clients and even like this one, right? And it's like I'm floating in the air. That's that thing, right? When you're living with someone in the first few months or years, you're like floating. But what if we start pouring that love on ourselves in that way?
Yeah.
Unconditional love. And if we do that, so that means that we start keeping our attention inwards. So our attention goes inwards.
Yeah.
And that's the magic that happens, is something God, I hate to use the word God because why not? God is love. For me, that is it. God who lives within us starts to come forward, and we, the darkness, starts to, the lightness is, the darkness, the light, there's light everywhere. It's like the darkness is gone, and even the darkness is dissolved into light, and then there's only light, which is love,
yeah,
which is God.
Yeah, darkness cannot exist in light.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That was what I was looking for, is there's a dark room, and suddenly someone switches on the light. And it's okay. And it's really what people can experience when they start mentally repeating to them. It's a very simple thing, right? I love you. I don't feel it, but sure. Even though I don't feel it, I still love myself. It's like we're not looking to feel something in that moment, right? We're just saying it as a mental concept. Just, and even if we're not physical, I kept telling myself, yeah, sure. Even if you're not feeling it, I still love you. Even if you're not feeling it, even if you're having these dark thoughts for this someone, even if you're feeling angry, I still love you. Even if you're feeling jealous, I still love you. And I'm just telling myself that no matter what thought or emotion you experience, I love you unconditionally. So my dog would leave me, right? Like if you're angry at him, he would still love me. If you're jealous, he would still love me. So love ourselves like that. Why can't we love ourselves like that? You know? Yeah. Seriously.
Wow. Yeah, what you're talking about is when you see someone who is confident and sure of what they have to say, and they love themselves.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Correct.
Yeah, if you look inside, there isn't that dark pit.
Hmm.
They have filled that pit with light. Wow.
That's it. And that's what you said about sales coaching. And so I have a lot of clients. I tell you, it's so exciting and it's so interesting. So I have a lot of clients who are coaches, and they feel sales calls the most sleazy, the most gimmicky thing in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're reading from the scripts, and it's like you, when a person says, oh, I don't have the money, and then you handle the objection. So it's really mad. It's so beautiful. So it's, you know what happens? I'm going to give you a live example, right? We go in sales calls, and there's this incredible human in front of us that what we are seeing is we can just hopefully close them. That's the thought process. And that is fear-driven. It's like there's a line within us, and actually they can do that with me or whoever. But what if we see ourselves first from the eyes of love? Okay. First of all, it's courageous. Just to go and see us talk. That in itself is an act of courage. So we go there, and now we see the other person as love. Because that's who we are. That's who everyone is.
Yeah.
And now what happens is we're not leading the sales call from the fear of rejection, or fear of saying the wrong thing, or fear of offending them, or fear of asking deeper questions. We're leading from love. And what happens is magic. We don't need scripts. We go there, and when they have one of these money objections or whatever, because it's natural to have them, right? Like some people really cannot afford that you're selling, which is genuine. So now when you're leading and seeing them from the eyes of love, now you ask better questions. You get asked bold and questions that are coming not from fear, but from love.
Yeah.
Right? And now that sales call turns into a whole another thing. It doesn't really matter if they become a client or not. All you're doing is you're just going as not a sales call, but as an invitation to how much you love yourself and how much you love that person. That's it. And from that space, it's like magic. The questions pop out of you, boo boo. And suddenly the person is, I want to work with you because this is whatever who you are. It's magical. It's the frequency, it's the energy from which we're leading, and that energy is love.
Yes.
And that's it.
So and it feels good.
That feels amazing. It's on sales calls because they say industry standard is 20% conversion. The industry sales conversion rate is 20%. Yeah. My clients have a conversion rate of 75%.
What?
The reason. Yes, that's right, because they're not going there to continue to close people. No, they're going to see how much they have. That's it. That's it. And how much deeper can they go with someone? Because we can only ask powerful questions with someone, to someone, if we really love them.
Right? Yes.
Right? Otherwise, we're like, well, if we say this, we're going to be afraid. If we say this, they're going to reject me. Like, if I ask this question, they're going to be like, who are you to ask this question? We don't want to come across as salesy.
Yeah.
But it's not about us. It's about just us loving ourselves, but it becomes about them and of service. And that's why for me, sales is service. Sales is an act of love in itself. And it's why just to, you know, kind of shine light on, I mean, you mentioned sales and marketing. It's sort of like, salesy, don't do it, no cold outreach. But this is like mission driven. This is all about life and how much farther you can extend your message. That's it.
And it's really interesting because it wasn't put to me this way. I have a business manager for many years. And she used to say, you are doing your clients a disservice by not allowing them the opportunity to work with you and take your expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You took the time to learn that because you love it and you want to pass that on. So it's essentially what you're saying. You're just taking it deeper to the true heart of why we do what we do.
Yes.
If you're making sales calls and you're on a desk and you're just doing it because you have to do it, that's a very different thing.
Yeah.
But as entrepreneurs, especially when you love what you do, when you love passing on that knowledge to others, it's very evident. And I think understanding that you're leading with love,
yes,
I think would make it a lot easier for people to be yet comfortable. Mm-hmm. And wow, 75%, that's absolutely amazing.
Yes, indeed. And that's what it is about. It's all about love. One of my clients, he had worked with a lot of sales trainers and sales coaches. So he had invested a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then he came to me because that was pretty much last hope. And I thought, because sales is all about being pushy and using those scripts. And this was a completely different game. He's like, how much do you love yourself? And now he's like making anywhere between $16,000 to $25,000 a month. And the thing is, he's not going there. How many people can I close? Because when it's right, it's just not. It's okay. How much can I really love myself and that other person on the call? Exactly. How can I serve? And now, and you know, this guy, in some ways, he's a career coach. So he helps people get those like better jobs and stuff like that. So now, because he's closing more, let's say signing up more clients, these clients are benefiting by working with him, getting better jobs, and we're, I think, freezing the whole economy is getting better. They have more leverage. And that's what it is we don't understand that sales is not about us being a certain way. No, that's not what it is. Sales is just about how much we love ourselves, how much we believe that our work is transformational. And if the other person gets it, their whole life is going to transform, right? because yeah. they're not just going to, for me, they're not just going to lead their business from love. They're going to lead their relationships themselves. Yeah. Everything is going to transform. And we're just going to be a happier society in general. So love is the foundation of everything, really. Not just relationships, but love is sales, it's marketing. It's literally the essence of who we are.
And my thing for years in business was integration. You have to be congruent with who you are and what you offer and all those things. And it took a really long time because I had to work with a spiritual mentor who she didn't quite put it the way you have of loving yourself, but she got me to stop being brutal to me. Because the talk that went on in my head today, I wouldn't even repeat. I would not say that to someone I hated. And it was so bad. And the laugh was, every year that I got better at being kinder to me, I was forever saying to her, oh my God, there's so many nice people and blah, blah, blah. And she just laugh. She goes, they're not any nicer. You can just see them now, which exactly. is so true. And you open your eyes to those around you. And it is, it's the love that opens your eyes.
Yes.
So you can see the love around you.
Exactly. When you change, the world around you changes. Yeah. That's the truth. Our lens completely changes. And we see ourselves in a different light. The confidence goes up. And now we are able to make a bigger impact in this world. And I always say, if I can, someone who's been in depression for 18 years can do anything. You know, someone who's just fresh in depression can definitely. It doesn't matter like how long depression is depression. If you're feeling numb, it's hard to do anything. It's just, we just want to feel something. And but the more mentally we repeat to ourselves, I love you, it starts becoming a reality.
Yeah.
I love you even if you're feeling numb. I love you even if you're depressed. This is like really, it's like we are owning and bringing the shadows with it. Even the shadows, the depression, the darkness, they're all shadows. So what we're doing with love is we're shining light on them.
Yeah.
So the hardest thing for people to do is when they're depressed, they are not even that accepted.
Yeah.
That why them?
Yeah.
Why them? Why they are numb and where everyone else around them is really happy. And what? And that is the most important thing is, okay, I love myself even if I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I love myself even if I'm numb. Now that might feel fake in the beginning, but the more we do it, the more it's like, hey, there's no problem. Where I'm not broken for being depressed. What's the problem? It's the problem that we have. It's the mind that comes in and says, this is a problem. You're broken. Yeah. You're not whole.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's the problem.
And none of us are broken.
Yes.
What's really interesting, 2015, around there, I went to some event, a daytime. There was all kinds of things involved. And one of the speakers said, she was talking, not quite what you're talking about, but she was talking about walking into a more confident person, becoming something else. And she said, I couldn't do the fake thing about saying, I am a businesswoman, I am successful, I am. She said, but what I realized I could say was, I am the type of woman who can. And that was like a little baby step into becoming, I am the woman who is.
Wow.
And it's really, it's interesting to me when you find these little interim little tools that you can build on the other tools that you have, like the meditation and the breath work. And now loving yourself. Maybe the first one, if it feels too false, you can say, I am the type of person who loves myself, until you can get to a place where you can just love yourself.
Yes, I love that. This is so beautiful. That's the baby step, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Love it. Beautiful.
Very cool. Very cool. And I love the fact that you have a lot of backstory and there's years of stuff, but you took it in hand just recently. And it's very obvious how happy you are. And how old are your kids?
So my older one is 4 years old. She's a girl. And then I have another girl who is 8 months old. And yes, it's until June. June is the event where there was an airplane crash that happened in India in Ahmedabad. And that was the same one day before my aunt passed away. And the same day, the second day, it was like at night my aunt passed away. And the second day the airplane crash happened.
Oh my God.
Like, and it was like a blow to my system somehow. I felt there was the need for me to stop and look within, because I kept hearing her voice like, Rashi, love yourself. Rashi, love yourself. And it's June, right? So June, July, August. And now we're in September. So 3 months of just continuous repetition of this can really not just bring you out of the hole. It can, you can start making an impact. I'm going on podcasts now. I'm going on a TV show. Yeah. I've written my first book, which is not published yet. So I'm not going to agree with them. I have my first book on love and helping people return back to love. And that's all within the last 3-4 weeks. So I feel invincible. I feel unstoppable because the force of love is there, you know? And I feel like I can contain the whole world that's within me. I can really just do so much. And I'm still a new mom and I still have the household. So I get maybe 3 to 4 hours to work on and in my business these days because of the lifestyle we have. But it's enough. It's enough. Like even 20 hours a week is enough to make an impact. So time is no excuse. It's like you become so much infinite. It's infinite. And it's hard to explain. It's a feeling that you get to feel when you start doing this. So if someone is here, is listening, and you know they're in the darkest moments of their life, if there's one thing, it's like, hey, you know what? If you can really just start repeating this thing, or like Elaine said, that I can love myself. And the even if it feels too much of a stretch, I love myself, is maybe find one thing that you like about yourself. We all have that one thing.
Yeah.
I love this about myself. Or I love myself even if I don't love myself. How's that? Yeah. I love myself even though I don't. Because there are times, even now, there are parts of me that I haven't discovered that I can still love.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole infinite good. And so in those moments, it's no, I don't love myself. Mine is like really loud. No, I don't love myself. It's, no, I don't. So then it's like the voice, I love myself even though I don't love myself. That's it.
And I think we will always find new bits of ourselves.
Yes.
Because what's the old adage? We're like onions. You peel away the layers and there's always more, which is fine. And that concept... Okay, I want people to understand that everything's not rosy 24/7.
Yes.
But it's about how you handle those difficult moments. Mm-hmm. And the more you invest your time in you, the less you will have those moments. And you're able to rise above that and get to those moments. And for me, at the end of the day, being grateful for what's happened in the day, I have, and I'm paraphrasing here, these three little affirmations. The first one is, thank you. I am so grateful for all the blessings in my life, big and small. That's the first. And the second one is, please release the negativity from today. And let me replace it with calm. Mm. And the last one is, I want to wake up as a magnet for abundance, peace, and clarity. Thank you. And that's it. Three little affirmations that just at the end of the day, and I'm usually thinking about what happened that day. What were the good things? What were the wins? What made me smile? And the more you do that, the more you see to be grateful for it, the more of those blessings there are.
Yes, exactly. Yes, because your focus shifts on what you don't have to what you do have. And you step away from lack, feeling lack, to feeling
abundant,
to feeling grateful. And so the more, it's the law of attraction says, where energy, where attention goes, energy flows.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, where our focus shifts to what we have, even if it's, hey, I have light in my house, electricity. When I used to live back in India, we used to have these big power cuts from morning to night. We didn't have power. So we can afford a generator, which is, it would generate the power.
Yeah.
And that would keep going, but that would be, that would pollute the whole, because it's, you have to feed fuel, like petrol and diesel to that. Yeah. So, you know, now it's like, I'm in Canada, you know, like obviously there's a lot of
but I know if we have a brownout, we complain. Brownout's just when it clicks off for a second.
Yes, correct. Like, oh.
Yeah, and everybody gets all panicked.
Yes.
The other thing that I think is important about all of this is you will see when you pick up this practice and when you are what I call in flow, everything hums along. It's like going, I would never do this, but going kayaking in the river, and you're going with the river rather than going upstream.
Yeah.
If you go with the flow, everything just becomes easy.
Yes.
And that to me makes so much sense.
Yes.
Go with the flow, make it easy on yourself. Yeah. And then you're going to see a lot more around you that you consider blessings, things you can be grateful for, because you're allowing things to unfold as they should.
Yes, it's the path of least resistance,
like you said.
And there's a really beautiful poem by Rumi the Mystic, right? And it's called The Guest House. And I'm sure people, if they pick it up, it's obvious on Google. But the theme is the guest house. It's like you're in a guest house, right? You in the guest house has all sorts of emotions, even depression and even numbness. So let them come. And all you'd really do is just be a witness to that. Yeah. Don't identify with it, that it's, and don't make it about yourself. It's so, the thing is, we make it about ourselves. Why am I numb? Why am I depressed? And the identity. But if we're like, oh, right, now numbness has come and now depression is here. And it's hard because if you're like the stress of the universe, right? Then it's obviously hard not to identify, like, why am I depressed for 18 years? It's like, and it's hard for people, hard for us to accept that. That's why that practice of love breaks the sleepers. It starts to activate those hidden feelings. And that is what gets us out of that state of depression to the joy starts to come. It's like the joy starts. We start to feel joyful. It's like this is happening here. And that now you're feeling, you're feeling an emotion. And now you keep doing that. And now you keep momentum and you just become a different person altogether.
Yeah.
So it's an that practice, like everyone should try it, seriously.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. So now I have to work on I love myself.
Elaine, I love you, Elaine.
Thank you. I love you, Rashi. And I love you, Elaine. Yes. Yeah. We got some work to do there.
Yes. Sorry. And you also, it's like, I love you, even if you don't feel like you love yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Even though it seems like a mental repetition in the beginning, it might feel fake, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Stick with it. And then it's, the love itself starts to consume everything. It starts to consume the fakeness, to consume the not feeling good enough, the depression, the numbness, everything. And you get consumed by love. It's like the whole bubble of light consumes the darkness. So it's very cool.
I love that. On that note, I always ask my guests for a little something that we can leave the audience with, a practice you do every day or some little tweak that you think is very useful.
I developed an app. It's a free app that people can use, and it's on my website. They can download that. I'm happy to share the website with you, Elaine, so you can share it in the comments. That app in itself gets you back to who you are, in an essence. It's guided. Like, there's a lot of questions that you takes you through that journey. So that is an app. And then this practice itself is, I love you. I love you. Even if I don't feel like it, I love you. That's what it's like, a mental, that tool in itself is everything you need. You start from morning. It has to be done first thing in the morning. Otherwise, you're going to get lost in the day and the day will take over. So it's an intentional practice.
Okay.
Yes.
I see that now. That's a word that's really important. Intentional.
Intentional. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So RashiNayarWellness.com. Did I get that right?
Exactly.
Okay, so like everything else we have, everything will be below us in the show notes, so you too can get a hold of Rashi. And I'm just, wow, my heart is full. I think it's wonderful that today has been all about love. It started out as a slightly difficult day today. And now I just see a lot more possibility and joy, which is always good. I love it when there's lots and lots of joy. I thank you so much for coming on and being my guest and bringing such love with you. It is palpable. And it is very evident to me that you walk your walk, at which I just think is absolutely wonderful. I love it when people embody what they bring. And I think that's super important.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn. And you know what? When I look at you, you are already radiating love. I came on the show and I could see that. And that could be for aid. Sometimes when people get older, they just start embodying that love. Even if they don't feel it, it's like they become resilient. And that's how I see you today.
Thank you so much. Well, yeah. I do have a great deal of love for everyone else. So there has to be some for me.
Yes, it is.
I believe I'm very blessed. On that note, I am going to say thank you to our audience for being with us today. Rashi Nayar is someone that you should definitely check out. Like I said, the website you can see right below us. And in the show notes, you'll find everything you need to know about Rashi and how to get in touch with her. So for now, we're going to bid you adieu. And I am, as usual, going to say, please make the most of your today, every day. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SZF42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.